It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, indeed it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. You're each treasured, valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is indeed hump day. It's Wednesday. It seems like just yesterday was the day after Sunday before Tuesday.
Yeah, I got you. I've got you trained. This is great.
Yes. Can you believe how fast time goes each day? It is a gift. That's why they call it the present, right? Ha.
Oh. So,
bada boom.
Don't give up your day job.
Okay. Okay. Today's also Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free, and that's for to go or to dine in. Their smoked wings are half the calories. Those are delish, but of course they've got the breaded and the bone in. And so again, 20 wings, you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And that's at Hooters Restaurants. You can check out all of their specials at my website, kimmunson.com. Be sure and check out the website. We've got a lot going on over there. We have our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcast, and of course, the Voters Guide, the We the People Voters Guide. We take positions on each of the issues. I guess we have issues, and also, those are the statewide issues, as well as this big, massive proposed tax increase, retail tax increase here in Lone Tree, and then also recommended school board candidates. We've got a jam-packed show planned for you today, but go to the website and check out the newsletter. Sign up for that. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate that. I'm going to go directly to the quote for the day because we have just a whole lot going on in the show. And this is from Teddy Roosevelt. And I know that many of you have heard this, but I thought given what's going on, particularly during this election time, it would be great to just revisit this. And Teddy Roosevelt Jr. was Theodore Roosevelt Jr. often referred to as Teddy, was an American politician, statesman, conservationist, naturalist, historian, and writer who served as the 26th president of the United States from 1901 to 1909. And this is what he said. He said, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while doing greatly." Quite the quote, producer Steve.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm trying to work with Wayne here.
So one other thing, get ready for this. You know, on the Voters Guide, we have taken a very strong stand against Prop 119, which is, quote unquote, the new marijuana tax, state marijuana tax for the children. As we have delved into it, we realize this is a new state marijuana tax for the cronies. And Patty Kurgan, our researcher, has done really a series of op-eds that are up my website, KimMunson.com. Rick Turnquist has done one, and I as well, regarding LEAP. Really delving into this. You're seeing those slick commercials. The other side of this, the proponents of LEAP, have a lot of money because just think about it. If they can get this passed, they can pad their pockets. And so why not put in this new quote-unquote sin tax over here so that we can and call it for the children? But I was at a meeting last night, and somebody came up with a new acronym. And this is what he said LEAP actually stands for. It's leftist end run around the people.
Oh. Excellent. There are so many creative people in this country.
I love that. So again, LEAP is the leftist end run around the people. And so I really love that as well.
Well, can I, let's make no mistake here. This is a tricky one because of what's on the surface. And we found that out loud and clear yesterday when we noticed a Denver Post op-ed, I guess. And I won't besmirch the author, but he basically went out on quite a limb and ignored the fact that it is unelected, unaccountable people. Agenda or the curriculum, I guess, you know, for these kids was kind of really loose. And I don't know why somebody in his position would ignore things like that.
Yes. Again, we won't name names right now, but respected guy, a guy that I like, has held elected office. And actually is another radio show host. And you and I were both surprised as we actually read that, because I've always liked him. And he certainly has a voice and people respect him. And I was a little shocked at just, I think what I was shocked about that piece is how flippant it was. Because we have really delved into this. We really know what is in it. And LEAP, what it is, it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable authority board that will be over this authority. This board is chosen by this governor. They get to choose their replacements. They have taxing power. The authority board can accept gifts. Get this, they can accept gifts from other government entities or other organizations or individuals. Now, just think about how we have seen the effect on education. So think about this. They say that this is for all eligible children, so low-income children, that they're now going to have them after school. And the other thing is and in this article as well, it implied that parents have a choice. Well, yes, parents can choose after-school programs from the menu that is chosen, the vendors that are chosen from this authority board. So it's not really school choice, and it's not really about vouchers, because the money goes from the authority board to the vendor. And Patty brought up a really excellent point in this most recent op-ed that she did, is how do you then know that the vendor is not overcharging? There's no oversight on that. The parents aren't going, oh, wait a minute, you charge too much. The parents, they may not even know. So I think that this is, I love this new acronym, LEAP, the leftist end run around the people. So we've got a jam-packed show planned for us today, Steve.
Hey, well, yeah. Can I ask one more question on LEAP?
Sure.
In all the research that you and Patty have done, the unelected, unaccountable people, does it mention their salaries?
No, it does not. And so I don't know whether or not they receive a stipend or not. That's a good question. Patty may have, I mean, we've pored over this thing a number of times, and she may know the answer to that, but I don't recall that. And that's a really good question.
Well, in terms of bloating the government and the nonstop drain that causes them to always want more, it's a good question. I think it's fair.
Right, right. Now, Steve, there's all kinds of ballot questions out there, and I think we're going to be talking about Castle Rock here just momentarily, correct?
I hope so.
Okay, because I think that there's four different questions in Castle Rock regarding taxes as well. And my friends, very seldom will I ever recommend that we support a tax increase, because the way to actually increase government revenue is to get the economy really humming. And the way that you do that is through taking the shackles off private enterprise. And the way that you do that is through lower taxes, lower fees, lower rules, lower regulations. And Donald Trump, whether or not you liked him or not, take a look at the policies. He came into office and he lowered taxes, and this economy was truly, truly humming right before the whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. And when that happens, there's more people working, and the government's tax revenues then increase. I was thinking about this the other day, Steve, regarding Social Security. Social Security has now turned into a Ponzi scheme. And basically, the people that are paying in now are paying for the people that are taking money out. And if you contract the economy, if you contract employment, which is what we've seen through this whole reaction to COVID with all the stimulus money, paying people to stay home, just think about this, about the long-ranging effects that that's going to have on Social Security. Because not only did we now had a situation where I think it was, I'm not going to quote that because I need to look that up. But you have workers that are paying in that are, and you have Social Security recipients that are taking out. If you have less workers over here, it certainly affects the financial outcome of Social Security down the long run. And so taking the personalities out, both taking out both Trump and taking out both Joe Biden, just looking at the policies, Trump comes in, lowers rules, regulations, and fees. Now, the one thing that he really couldn't get a handle on, and that was lowering spending. And perhaps if we would have had another 4 years, he might have been able to make that happen. But that's a tough one from a political standpoint. We're going to have to do it. And I wish that we would do it voluntarily, because if we do not do that as a country, it's going to happen involuntarily. You saw the economy going. You saw unemployment for blacks, Hispanics, women at all-time lows. Black home ownership was up 6 points. And so you have all that over there. Economy, and again, tax receipts are going to be coming in for the government on a higher level because the economy's humming. A bigger pie, bigger individuals, government starting to reduce that. But then you go over here and you look at Joe Biden, and what does he do? One of the first things that he does is he stops the Keystone XL pipeline. And then now we're looking at potential shortages of our supply chain. And we're going to be talking with Bob Boswell in the third and fourth segment, because this show is our health and hydrocarbon show. And my friends, I was thinking today as I was preparing for all this, we take so much for granted. And most all of that, turning on the lights, getting in your car, being able to go where you want to, when you want to, heating your home as we're coming into winter. And all of that is because of hydrocarbons. And hydrocarbons are actually organic. It's plants and it's plants that have been under the Earth's surface for years and years and years. So it is also organic. And this assault on hydrocarbons is really, once again, an assault on the prosperity and the ability to thrive of the middle class. And that's why we need to continue to connect the dots for ourselves and for our families to understand that we thrive and flourish because of hydrocarbons. That's one of the big reasons. And so we'll be talking about that in the third and fourth segment. We're going to go to break. You know, these shows have been so jammed up because there's the election going on, and I am so impressed by the number of candidates that are stepping forward to run for school board. And in my voter's guide, the We the People Voter's Guide that you can find at Kim Munson, MONSON.com, we have actually a recommended list of school board candidates, and not all different school districts, but a number of them. And you can use that as a tool as you are filling out your ballot. So go to KimMunson.com for our voter's guide. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Courtney Potter, and she is running for school board in Adams 12. Courtney Potter, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me.
Adams 12. So which particular school district is that exactly?
We are just north of Denver. It's one of the larger school districts in the state. It kind of covers Thornton, North Glen, Westminster, Broomfield, and a little bit of Federal Heights.
That is a rather large school district. How many school board members are on the board?
Five.
Five, okay.
Five of them.
Okay. First question out of the box, why? Why are you running for school board?
Well, I'm a mom of three. My kids are 11, 9, and 2, and I really started paying attention to our school board when my oldest was in kindergarten, first grade, kind of during that time when we had a lot of those safety issues with school shootings and all of that terror. And the board really kind of caught my attention at that point. And you know, looking at how they were handling the situation. And then a few years later, they caught my eye again when they were discussing removing school resource officers. And then once again, when my kids were remote learning and I was seeing kind of what they were learning, and I was really shocked. And so when I started going to the school board meetings and watching how they were not only just disinterested and kind of disrespectful towards these parents with concerns, I was really disappointed. And so I started getting connected with the community and other parents in the area. And I realized that even though they try really hard to make you feel like you're alone and crazy and you're just, you know, a helicopter parent, I realized that wasn't the case. And so I determined pretty quickly that we needed to get a parent's voice on the school board, one that supports choice and freedom and, you know, really listens to the community. And so, you know, I went to college and I have a degree in management and I have my MBA with a focus in finance. My husband is a longstanding law enforcement officer and a veteran. My mom, dad, grandpa, cousins, uncles, they're all veterans. And so when I was really trying to weigh, do I have it in me to put up this fight against, you know, the union-backed board, do I have it in me? And the answer was I do. I do not turn down the opportunity to advocate for our children or put up a much needed fight, because someone has to, and someone has to start holding people accountable for what's going on with our kids.
Courtney, I hear what you're saying. I think I was very trusting. I am a product of a really good classical liberal public education. And that means I graduated from high school with the tools to actually succeed. And that was reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, civics. And so it is certainly very possible. But if people, what has happened now, we certainly need, I think, more freedom in education instead of less freedom. And I, like you, I have gone, it's been a while since I've gone to school board meetings, but I was just shocked at the disdain. I think disdain would be the word.
Yeah.
And looking at parents as that the kids were the teachers union, not the parents. And we've seen that play out. And then you just mentioned something about there's this blessing, I think, in this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption with kids at home online learning, because I think I heard you say something along the line of, is this what our kids are being taught?
Yeah.
And I think that's been the big wake-up call. It's astounding what we're seeing across the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So another question then, and this is the other two really big questions, is first of all, critical race theory, or and sometimes if you just ask the pointed question, are you teaching critical race theory in the curriculum? The answer will be no, because they're not calling it that. But the curriculum is so important, and there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And if we're focusing teachers' resources and the school day time on critical race theory or sexualizing our kids through the LGBTQ agenda, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, no wonder our kids are below achievement and falling behind in the basics, Courtney.
Yep, absolutely. So when it comes to CRT, you know, I've taken a few seminars and really tried to understand what they're trying to achieve. And while I understand the importance of equality and inclusion, I just do not believe that CRT is the way to achieve those things. I fear that it is divisive and almost dangerous to be lowering these standards so that all students can have, you know, graduation and be successful, when that's not what we should be doing. We should be supporting our underachieving students and kind of elevating them and boosting them to reach the standards that are already in place. And another piece of the CRT here is that we can't be deleting history. If we need to supplement history or make it more wholesome and well-rounded by including you know, people of color or minorities that kind of assisted others, then let's do that. But we can't just not talk about large events that have shaped our country. And again, you know, I support equality and inclusion, but this is just not the way to go about it.
Well, and we need to focus on the things that unite us, and that's a big thing. People want their kids to succeed, and you just mentioned about graduating and success. Graduating kids without the tools for success is, and without all the money that we're spending to them, is really a disservice to families and to our children. And so we really need to focus on getting them the tools that they can succeed. And a friend of mine presented just recently at a group of women that I was with, and her father is Black and her mother is Korean. And she has actually really looked at this whole CRT thing. And the words that they use are equality, inclusion. And I think that America, we do believe that all men are created equal. And we've been the big melting pot. I mean, how inclusive can you be on that? But she said that CRT is not really about that. It is really about dividing and retribution. And so they couch it with one word, but it's something else. So, okay, the next question on the table, though, and that is the forced masking of children. Where do you come down on that?
You know, I think it is disappointing. I feel like you hear over and over again that we need to trust the health experts. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like when they were doing these studies that they really took into account that we're talking about children. They're not wearing properly fitted, clean masks all day. They're wearing dirty, loose-fitting masks that they're coloring on and sharing with friends and dropping on the bathroom floor. And so really, when did we weigh the pros versus the cons here? I just don't believe that we did. And so when it comes to a mandate, my son started school at the beginning of August and masks were optional. They then put the mandate in place and they all are masked, and the COVID numbers didn't really change in our school. They didn't go down. The kids were still quarantining, and it just kind of opened my eyes to why are we doing this? You know, why can a child go to Disney World and not be in a mask, or a Broncos game or a grocery store and not be masked? But we have to mask them for hours in a day at school. It doesn't add up, and it really kind of makes you think, like, what is the agenda here? And when it comes to a mandate, I'm disappointed, and I don't support a mandate because I feel that parents should be making the best choices for their kids. And
you think?
For me, my 9-year-old is homeschooled because he didn't want to wear a mask. He didn't want to quarantine. He didn't want to deal with it. And my 11-year-old, it was his first year of middle school, and he was like, "Mom, I have to go." So he is in a mask and in school. And so what works best for one child does not work best for everybody. And so I am so disappointed that we came out with this blanket mandate with inaccurate, you know, studies to support it.
So, Courtney Potter, how can people get more information about you and your campaign?
They can visit our website, Potter for Adams 12, kimsponsors.com. Otherwise, we are also on Facebook. We have a great Facebook group and community of engaged parents, and that is Courtney Potter for Adams 12. And if there's any specific questions, you know, they can send me an email or reach out, and that is Potter4Adams12@gmail.com. And, you know, really, I would just like to say to everybody, stay engaged, stay involved. A lot of school board positions are uncontested. A lot of school boards are run 100% by union-backed members. And we have to stay awake and stay involved to really get some change done.
And people can go to my website, kimmunson.com, to the Voters Guide. I do have this list of recommended school board candidates, and Courtney is on there, and the link to your website is there as well. So, Courtney Potter, thank you so much. Thank you for throwing your hat in the ring.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Okay. And Lauren Levy is on the line with us. You know him. He is an expert in the mortgage arena. He his company is Polygon Financial Group, and he works with a number of different vendors out there as he can help you find the best mortgage for you. Question on the table, Lauren Levy. Welcome to the show. Inflation, Fed. I heard something a little odd about the Fed kind of changing policy this week, but it was just more in passing. What was that all about?
You know, we're still talking about the Fed having pressures. You know, the Fed is made up of many members, and so when one member might speak to the media, things can change midweek. And, you know, we're seeing that there might be some pressure on the Fed to try to taper or slow down their bond buying program even earlier than what they had said, which we haven't seen that come through yet, but there's been no announcements, but that's what's in the news because of inflation. So we'll see what happens. So far, nothing's really happened.
Has those comments affected interest rates?
Not in the last couple of days. We've seen a blip up and down after their last meeting. When they talked about tapering, it went up a little bit, and then it's calmed down again. So things are still fine, but there's definitely pressure to take advantage of these rates and do things while the opportunity is there.
And one other thing, Lauren, with rates low, which is great if you're buying your home and wanting to lock in something for the long term, but people that are on fixed incomes and that have been doing their planning, this whole inflation thing, and I'm hearing it might be as much as 6%, I mean, that really changes people's financial plans as they moved into their retirement. And so a reverse mortgage might be something people might want to consider.
That's right. And especially with the fact that home values are as high as they've been in Colorado in history. So it's a great time to take advantage of the equity in your home and find a way to get some income when interest rates are moving higher. But if in the long run, interest rates moving up causes home values to come down a little bit because people just aren't buying as much, that could hurt, you know, reverse mortgages down the road because people's values might stabilize or come down even a little bit. So it's a great time to take advantage of anything mortgage related before rates rise. That's the truth.
Oh, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. So, Lauren Levy, if people want to get some information about reverse mortgages or check out interest rates, try to get pre-qualified for a house, what is the best number to reach you?
Best way is to call 303-880-8881.
Again, that's 303-880-8881. And I know that we're trying to get you and Karen, get your schedules together to have you in the studio as co-host next week. So hopefully we'll make that all happen.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Okay. And again, that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, 303-880-8881. And one other thing before we go to break, another great sponsor of the show is a new sponsor, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they are specialists in the Medicare arena. And this is the time right now from October 15th through December 7th that you can go in and change your plan for the next year. And as I've gotten to know Marlon Kirsch, the owner there, and Danielle and Naomi, didn't realize that different insurance companies may change their prescription drug plans for the next year. And so it's important to be informed. If that's the case, you may want to make a different choice. So right now is the time to do that, October 15th through December 7th. You can get more information about Kirsch Insurance Group and all their contact information at iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com, that's iKirsch.com. And be sure and plan ahead. And I'd say do this sooner versus later so that you get in before all the procrastinators that go, oh, December 1st, I need to do something about this. So be sure and check out iKirsch.com. And today is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. It's brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. We realize that affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy really helps power our lives so that we can thrive and prosper. So we're going to be talking about natural gas prices with Bob Boswell when we come back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. And you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. And our voters guide is, I've named it the We the People Voters Guide. And the reason is because we're not paid by anybody to do this. And so there's no politics involved in this. We look at this as how does this match up to the vision of the Declaration that we're all treated equal and that we all have rights from God of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But also, how does it match up with the Constitution? And is it the proper role of government? And of course, lower taxes are certainly important to make sure that we can thrive and prosper. And I just love it when PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties want to raise taxes. They only look at their entity. They say, oh, it's only a penny, or it's only this, it's only that. But when you put all of that together, and we had George Allen on yesterday. He said in Douglas County, when you put all the taxes together, probably 30 to 40% of people's incomes go to government. And it is so onerous. It's still amazing that we thrive and prosper. And of course, one of the reasons that we do that is because of affordable energy. And this show is brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. And reliable, abundant, efficient, and reliable energy is what helps power our lives. And we have taken it for granted. And Patty had pulled this piece from page 2 in Complete Colorado by Jake Fogelman. And it says, the lessons for Colorado from Europe's energy crisis. And once again, my friends, as we see what's going on from the state legislature here in Colorado, this governor, and then, of course, all the bureaucrats in the different bureaucracies here in Colorado, we realize there is just a significant assault on our fossil fuel industry. And this is what Jake said. He said, by now you've probably seen the headlines about the burgeoning energy crisis in Europe stemming from supply chain bottlenecks, aggressive carbon pricing policies, and a wind drought that has significantly reduced the output of the region's wind sector. As a result, oil and natural gas prices have surged to record levels. Many European utilities have been forced to revert to burning coal, which has also seen its price triple in order to meet the region's energy needs. Yet some officials are still warning customers of the possibility of food and energy shortages this winter. And while the shock has not yet been pronounced in the U.S. energy Colorado energy consumers are already feeling the ripple effects. The Denver Post has reported that energy prices in the Denver area are up 33% year over year, for example, driven primarily by a 54.8% increase in gas prices. Now, Steve, let's just stop there for just a moment. when you take a look at inflation on all of the other things that are happening, and then you're looking at all of these different municipalities that are asking for higher and higher taxes, and then we look at energy prices that are up 33% year over year, just think how that squeezes the middle class. And it also really hurts lower income individuals as well. And then, of course, the answer to helping lower income individuals is another government program, which costs more money, which the cycle continues. And I submit to you that this is all because of government-induced inflation, government-induced shortages. And it's really disappointing, Steve.
Well, you call the cycle, I'll just throw another adjective in there, vicious cycle. And it ties back to something you were talking about in segment one. I mean, I call it an American tragedy, the fact that Trump was not permitted to continue what he was doing. The fact that, you know, the media, the Fourth Estate, whatever you want to call them, were allowed to make it sound like it was a high school popularity contest. And that it really had no impact on people's lives. It does. And we see it federal, state, local.
Well, and then just to add on to this, and the next paragraph, it says, meanwhile, increased natural gas prices have led Xcel Energy to announce an average monthly rate increase of 14.4% for Colorado energy consumers this winter, when Coloradans are most in need of abundant and affordable power to heat their homes. And Xcel has been working with the legislature, the bureaucrats, the governor to actually try to shut down our fossil fuels industry and push consumers to electricity. Of course, the thing that they don't mention is that electricity or wind and solar actually has to be backed up by natural gas as well. But I thought that all this was supposed to be more affordable as well. But guess what? 14.4% here. We're looking at these tax questions over here. And again, people are getting squeezed and squeezed. And all of a sudden, folks are realizing, while we've been asleep at the wheel with all of these policies that have been going through, shutting down coal, putting pressure on natural gas production here in Colorado, that actually, in fact, we have loved abundant, affordable, reliable, and efficient energy, Steve.
What is one of your favorite little ditties that you tell to describe things in this twisted democracy that people keep trying to jam down our throats? Two wolves and a sheep voting, what's for dinner?
Yes.
You talk about Xcel and the government working together to do XYZ. I mean, neither one really has the consumer best interest.
No, they really don't. And when we look at here, when they were talking about in Europe that they're going to need to try to backfill with coal, we look down here at Pueblo, and I think it's Xcel, they're trying to fast track closing those coal-fired plants down there. And clean burning coal is, again, it's reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant. And it's just beyond me how we've let these policies occur. And again, Colorado, can you believe that Colorado's been one of the top natural gas producers here in the western region? And because of public policy, it is so hurting the industry, Steve.
Well, you keep using the word awakening, and I welcome the day that people will finally start to figure things out when they are in such an undeniable way they are being hurt by public policy and say, all right, where's this policy coming from? Who's at the head of this thing?
Well, but the problem is this policy requires capital expenditures, and you can't just turn the switch on. So when Biden comes in and shuts down the Keystone XL pipeline, well, all those people lost their jobs, and they basically have shut down that whole project. So you can't just flip a switch and turn that back on. And the other thing that is so frustrating, though, is Biden is supporting Putin's pipeline over in Europe. And so I think it's hard for people to believe that there are those in government now that really put everybody else in the world's best interest before hardworking Americans. It's really hard to believe, but I think, again, people are waking up to this. And so I wanted to go ahead and go through this because this next comment, it says from this article, from Jake Fogelman, is what's worse is the inability of domestic natural gas producers to meet the surge in demand for output. The U.S. has been the world's largest producer of natural gas, thanks in no small part to what's been dubbed the shale revolution. But recent hostility to the industry has led to massive reductions in investment in new natural gas projects. The Wall Street Journal reports years of awful returns and pressure from clients to exit from the oil and gas business have left fewer and smaller firms able to take advantage of rising prices and help boost production. The unwillingness of some banks to make energy loans, again, this is they've been pressured by political correctness many times on that. So the unwillingness of some banks to make energy loans has compounded the challenges to boosting energy supplies. Those left are moving to increase production, but they are relatively small players who won't be able to make a significant impact on output. Investors are steering capital away from fossil fuels and toward companies that rank high in environment, social, and governance, or ESG measures. Now, I want to stop right there. When we talk about this high environmental standard, if you will, natural gas is clean burning. And so when we look at environmental policies, moving over to our forests, the mismanagement of our forests has been one of the things that has contributed to these forest fires. Now, we've always had forest fires. In fact, the Native Americans many times would have controlled burns, if you will, in the springtime when we have the runoffs from the winter snows, and certainly everything is wetter. And so they would actually do controlled burns. So the environmentalists have said, hands off of our forests. And when I went up to Grand Lake for U.S. Constitution Week, you could see all of the dead trees, the dead brush. We've not been able to clean that out. And so the forest fires that we have are more intense. Now, Steve, let's just think about what did the air look like here in Colorado from both Colorado and California forest fires this summer? The air was so smoky, some people that had trouble breathing or had lung issues, they couldn't even go outside. So when you talk about environmental, I think it's important that we connect all those dots. And clean burning coal, clean burning natural gas has been something we've taken for granted because, again, affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy helps each and every one of us be able to thrive and prosper. So let's go to break. We'll continue this conversation because we've taken it for granted. I think some people just think that you go to the light switch and you just turn it on and don't realize that there's been a real assault on you being able to do that. And we can see that now with the increased costs that Xcel Energy is proposing for Coloradans. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Yes, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate that. And check out our voter's guide. We have taken a position on each of the statewide issues. There's three questions, one amendment, and two propositions. And you can get all of the background information there. That's the thing. Now that we are seeing the money coming in on these ads, one has to ask, if you're seeing this real slick, expensive ad, who's going to benefit? And of course, one of those questions, Steve, is LEAP, which is this, the actual name of it is the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And it's, quote unquote, the new marijuana tax for the children. Last night, I was speaking at an event, and somebody came up and said, actually, LEAP stands for Leftists In Run Around the People. And as Patty and I have really delved into this, it's Prop 119, we're a strong no on it. And the reason is because this puts in place an unelected, unaccountable authority board, a board of nine members. This board is appointed by this governor. They choose their replacements. They have taxing power. The authority can take gifts from other governmental entities, other organizations, and individuals. They choose all the vendors, of which then the parents can select for after-school programs. And I submit to you, if we were focusing the school day on reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, instead of these other things such as CRT, critical race theory, or sexualizing our children through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood curriculum, if we were focusing on the things that would really put our kids in a position for success, we would not even need to be talking about this. But when we look at this, I realize that this is a leap for cronies. Because once in place, they're not accountable to the people, they're not accountable to the legislature, they're not accountable to future governors, and they're not accountable to the Board of Education. And so this is, and oh, that's the other thing, is the authority board, they can actually take 10% off the top for administrative expenses. And they are expecting in 2024, when the tax gets goes up another 33% to 20%, that in fact, and by that time, it'll be $137 million. They can take almost $14 million off the top for administrative expenses. And the vendors there, from what we can see in the initiative, and it's actually 14 pages, is what we see in the initiative, that the vendors can take and whatever they want for administrative expenses. So my friends, that's why we are a strong no on Prop 119 LEAP. But I want to continue to talk about how important affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant energy is. We have taken it for granted, and people are now waking up as we are looking at these price increases. We've been going through this piece by Jake Fogelman that was published in Complete Colorado about just what has been happening here. And I'm so pleased to have on the line with me Bob Boswell. He is the chairman, he's the CEO of Laramie Energy. And Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas are friends of the show because we realize it's important on a regular basis that we continue to remind ourselves about, again, reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. Bob Boswell, I appreciate the oil and gas industry immensely, but man, it's had so much pressure on it, and it's been so volatile. So, Bob Boswell, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's good to be with you.
Energy prices. I remember, Bob, when COVID, the reaction to COVID began and the economy shut down, oil and gas prices plummeted, and different producers went out of business. It was a very scary time. And now we see natural gas prices at kind of all-time highs. What is going on exactly? What are you seeing?
Well, it's the simple supply and demand of economics. And unfortunately, in our industry, we go through long-wave cycles. And what we've had is a kind of a repressive regulatory regime in the state, and we've had now at the federal level. In fact, the state this year has only issued, to my knowledge, around two permits for two pads in the whole state. And that, you know, it's if we aren't drilling and producing gas, the supply shrinks, and the demand coming off COVID is COVID's increased, and that's just been the simple supply and demand. The other has been kind of international markets. In Europe, it's even worse. In Germany and some of these countries that have gone to these renewables have found that they aren't reliable. They're renewable but not reliable, and questionable whether they're renewable due to the amount of battery storage and the use of really fossil fuels to even create these so-called renewable energies. So it's a combination of the just the basic economics of you get what you ask for. And if you overtax an industry or overregulate them, you get less supply. So that's the, more or less the predicament and the dilemma. And I hope the public at a point in time can connect the dots on what's been happening in the state and nationally, which has repressed our supply. And it's made us, once again, more energy dependent on other nations than being independent, which we were for a period of time under the last administration, which recognized the need to reduce the regulations and open up the federal lands for development.
Well, and we were energy independent at the end of the last administration. And again, taking all personalities out of it, just looking at policy, do we like to be energy independent and have reasonable, you know, affordable prices and reliable energy? Or we now look at this administration, and I mentioned in the segment before you came on that you can't just flip a switch on our oil and gas industry. For example, the Keystone XL pipeline, you cannot not now say, oh my gosh, we made a mistake, and just turn it on immediately. There's capital investments that have to be made and long-term decisions. And that's one of the things that concerns me very much, Bob Boswell, is when people finally realize, oh my gosh, we need to turn that switch on, I think there's going to be some pain maybe in our pocketbooks, and maybe even we might have some energy shortages before we really get this thing turned around. What do you think, Bob?
Well, we've already seen it. In California, they've had rolling brownouts. Texas was not prepared for the winter storm last winter. So I think this is beginning to show itself. And there needs to be corrective actions because, as you've noted, it does, it's not a, a turn on the switch. And what, you know, what we're being hit with is what the ESG now in the capital markets, environmental, social, and governance issues. And we're having a number of new type of regulations from different agencies on reporting on gases and things like that. And they not only is the reporting duplicate, but they're significantly different in how they calculate and look at things. So it's a, you know, it's another kind of constraint that we have in terms of being able to make these different reports. Our industry's done a great job on reducing emissions, much more than any place else in the world. And if you look at general fossil fuel emissions, China and India and these others are relying on coal. They've got 280 coal plants on the books in those nations, while we're reducing the number of coals, putting more into natural gas. And then we're going at trying to really put the emphasis, particularly the capital markets. In some ways, I think it's just a promotional type of endeavor where these different funds are raising money to go into transition into renewables. And I think it's a mistake. These guys can make some money on the front end, but overall, it's going to put us in a more perilous position for reliable electricity in particular.
Well, and it's a direct assault on the American people, I think, because when you talk about China and India, they have coal plants. Here we in Colorado, Xcel is shutting down plants, coal plants. But yet, I had mentioned in this piece by Jake Fogelman that had been in Complete Colorado, they said Europe has had a wind drought. And so the wind doesn't always blow. And sometimes there's storms where the cloud, you don't see the sun. So when we talk about this ESG, I think that's what you said. The thing about it is, okay, if you're going to have that conversation, let's have an honest conversation. And I think that you'd mentioned maybe the last time that you were on is, and they don't even talk about the rare earth minerals, the mining that has to be done for these batteries. And so if we're going to do this, and we need to make sure we have an honest conversation about this. And I hope that we the American people figure this out sooner versus later, because once again, we've taken our fossil fuel industry for granted. Your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, I think that's exactly right. As I mentioned earlier, we've got evidence and models of what doesn't work. California is the typical one, and then, you know, their electricity rates are 55% higher than the national average, and they've gone to, I think, somewhere 27%, 28% renewables, despite, you know, importing electricity from coal-fired plants out of Utah at a 29% or 30%. So, in many ways, we need to have people, as you mentioned, to have an honest conversation. What's the reality? What's the reality of energy physics, energy density, cost of energy, all those different factors? And we aren't having that. We're having more of a political assault on the fossil fuel industry within complete or inaccurate information. And it's, you know, it's like the notion of utopia. Well, it would be nice if there was a utopia, but reality has to set in. And unfortunately, we're starting to pay the price for not facing reality.
Bob, that's so interesting you would say that. I have looked at the policies of socialism and pushing into communism, and I've realized a lot of people get hurt on the road to utopia, Bob Boswell.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I so appreciate, we're out of time, Bob Boswell, but I so appreciate your sponsorship of our show, our partnership, you and Karis Oil and Gas. I really do appreciate it, because we need to continue to remind people that reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy helps everyday people thrive and prosper. So Bob Boswell, Laramie Energy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Teddy Roosevelt. And my friends, this is what he says. He says, do what you can with what you have where you are. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want